All right, we're continuing on in this series of sermons called God's Game Night. We're having a little fun with the Scrabble board, and as you know, we celebrated already. This week's word is prosper, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture from the Sermon on the Mount, and you've probably heard me say this before, that I believe that Jesus' words found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, collectively known as the Sermon on the Mount, it's just about everything you need to know to live a Christian life, to live a godly life, is found in the greatest sermon ever given. The Lord, for three chapters, gives us kind of the keys to the kingdom of how to live like Him and how to live for Him. Do you remember seeing that poster before that says, "Everything I needed to know about life I learned in kindergarten"? Yeah. You know, how to share your toys, play nice with others, wash your hands. You learn these things in kindergarten, and there, that's pretty much all you need to know in life. Well, the Sermon on the Mount is kind of like that for me. When I need a course correction and I need to be reminded of who I am in the Lord and how the Lord wants me to interact, He wants me to know that I'm blessed. He wants me to know that I'm His. He wants me to know that the Spirit of the Lord is with me and I have great power. I have power over sin and darkness. I don't have to be a slave to my sinful nature. The Sermon on the Mount tells me how I am to relate with Him and how I am to relate with others. So I just go there often when I need a little boost and a reminder of who I am. So we're going to be in chapter 7 today of the book of Matthew as part of the Sermon on the Mount. But I'm going to set up your notes for you today, and sometimes I'll do this. I'll just kind of give you a head start. There are three things that I want you to know about God. So you can list those as things to know about God from this passage of Scripture we're going to look at. So there's three things you're going to learn about God. 1, 2, and 3. And then the next thing that I want you to know is, since this is about prosperity, kind of the secret sauce on how to prosper. If this is about prosperity, then we kind of need to know how to step into that. And then the last thing is kind of a bonus thing. You could call it bonus, however you want to label this, but this is the kind of the hiding in plain sight most beautiful thing about living a life of prosperity, and it's hiding right there in plain sight. We all want our lives to prosper, but there's something else that's hiding there that when it dawns on us, it's like, yes, that is the most beautiful part of God bringing us prosperity. So five things. The three things I want you to know about God, the secret sauce of how to live a prosperous life, and then, of course, the thing that it's like, wow, this is how I know that I'm living a prosperous life, or this is the best part of living a prosperous life. If you brought your Bibles, you can turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm going to be reading from verses 7 through 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is laying down a principle, a foundation for us in this passage. And He's talking about how we need to be persistent in our prayer life. Being persistent matters because it instills in us and it tells the Lord God Almighty that we do have faith and we do have trust, because if we keep showing up in the Holy of Holies saying, "Lord, hear me and hear my heart and hear my prayers," then He knows that we have great faith in Him and that we put our trust in Him. And it's not just something that we hope will happen. It's something that we're going to show up in great faith, and we require that the Lord God hear us. And Jesus is going to teach us about the importance of being persistent in our prayers. So if you have your word, you can turn there with me. And if you'd like to stand or close your eyes, raise your hands. These are the reading of the word of the Lord. These are not Pastor Steve's words. They are the Lord's words. And more importantly, their R-E-D in my Bible means they were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. These words have power and meaning. This is what the word of the Lord says. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Praise be to the Lord for the reading of his word. The first part of this passage is misinterpreted often, misquoted, misapplied. And we're going to circle back to that in a moment, because we're going to apply some broader context to what the Lord is saying in the beginning of that passage of Scripture. The first thing that you need to know about God in this passage of Scripture is that God wants to give you good things. The definition of the word prosper is very simple. It is to succeed in all the things that you put your hands and heart to flourish, to grow, to be moving forward instead of backward, to have good things, easy things instead of hard things, to be on the right track. These are all things that you could use to define the word prosper. And the Lord wants you to prosper. And more than that, He wants to give you good things. He wants you to have more than a life where you survive. He wants you to thrive. And He wants you to have good things in your life. He wants that. Now, sometimes people, they allow the enemy to speak to them, and they'll say, "Pastor, but you don't know what I've done in my life. Or you don't know what I'm doing in my life. How could God love me? How could God still want to give me good things when you don't know who I am and what I've done, who I really am on the inside? How could God in heaven really love me?" Well, you have a Father in heaven that wants to give you good things, because He loves you more than you can imagine. And He loves us all the same. And it doesn't matter what we've done or what we're doing, we are loved equally by Him. We are His children. And we've talked about how He sees us. And we should see ourselves and others the way He sees us, that we are worthy of His love, that our lives have value and meaning, not because of anything special we have done in our life, not because we're all that, but because He's given us life to bring Him glory. And that makes us special. That makes us part of His family. We are His children, and He wants to give us good things. He desires nothing more than we all thrive and not just survive. Some people think they're not worthy of that. They're not worthy of good things. And maybe that's because of the brokenness of which they've grown up in. And maybe because of dysfunction and brokenness. And I'm sorry that this happens. And it happens more than we can imagine, that people feel unloved and unworthy to receive good gifts. And they don't even know how to receive good gifts. But I want you to know that you have a Father in heaven that loves you more than you can imagine. And He wants nothing more than to give you good gifts. Good things. And it's okay to receive good gifts from heaven. The second thing you need to know is what Jesus describes later in the passage when He says, "You earthly fathers know how to do this. You know how to give good gifts. And you are evil." Ouch. But compared to a holy, holy God, that's who we are. And if you know how to do this well, just imagine how much better I know how to do this. He says, "Who among you, fathers, earthly fathers, if your children would ask for bread, you would give them a stone?" That's just mean. "Or if they ask for a fish, you would give them a snake?" unless you're weird and you ask for a snake. The good father might give you a snake. Here's the second thing you need to know. God knows how to give you good gifts. He's better at it than anybody else. I'm pretty terrible at it. Are you a good gift giver? Do you know exactly what Susie needs, Jack, all the time? I fail at this a lot. I don't know what gifts should be given. I'm the worst gift giver, I think, ever of all time. But our Heavenly Father, He is the best gift giver. He knows exactly the gift that you need. And oh, by the way, I'm just going to just pause right now to say the greatest gift that He's given you is the very life that you have. That is a gift from heaven. That is precious. You want to know why? And it's not because of you, because it brings Him glory. That's why you draw breath. The whole meaning, the whole purpose of life is to bring Him glory. And if you're doing that with your life, then guess what? You're fulfilling your broader purpose, the purpose that we've all been given, to bring Him glory. The greatest gift you've ever been given is the very life that you have. So there's the proof that God knows how to give good gifts, because when He made you, He didn't say it is good. He said it is very good. So when you look in the mirror, that's what I want you to see. When He created the Grand Canyon in all of its grandeur and all of the billions of stars in the sky, He said that is good. But look at yourself in the mirror, because when He created you, that is very, very good. The pinnacle of His creation, the greatest gift you could ever be given, is your very life, because your life is designed to bring Him glory. So Lord God knows how to give good gifts. If you ask for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. What kind of father would do that? He wants to give you good, good gifts. And He's good at it. He knows. The third thing that you need to know about God in this passage, and we need to cycle back to the beginning of this passage in verse 7, when Jesus is really talking about the persistency of prayer and how important it is to keep banging on God's door, because that shows that we're serious and that we have great trust and great faith in Him. To keep knocking, to keep seeking, to keep asking for good things. It's okay to invade heaven and ask for good things. But the third thing you need to know about God is that the Lord God would probably define prosperity different than the world would define prosperity. I don't think probably. I know He would. You see, the world would define prosperity different than God would. The world would define prosperity like how successful we are. What's the size of our bank account? How about the house we live in? Is it the mansion on the hill? What kind of job do we have? Is it that job that has status and prestige? Is it the corner office where I'm important in what I do? Or what kind of car that I drive? The world would define prosperity that way. Agreed? The Lord doesn't define prosperity that way. Not at all. It doesn't matter whether you're driving a Pinto or a Porsche. God doesn't define your prosperity that way. Now, the world will. If you're old enough, or if you're Morgan Stockburger, you probably know this song, even though she's not older. There's a song that was written a few years ago by one of the great folk hippie activists of all time, the late and great Janis Joplin. Oh, sing it, sister. Alicia, you can join with me here. Janis Joplin would define prosperity in this passage of Scripture, that all you have to do is to go to the Lord and ask. Because that's what Jesus says in this passage, doesn't He? Doesn't He say that if you just ask, you will receive? If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. The world uses this passage of Scripture and they misapply it as if the Lord is a magic genie, that all we have to do is ask and all of our wishes will be given to us. And then when the Lord does not give us all of our wishes, because the Lord doesn't define prosperity the way a sinful heart would define prosperity, we become disillusioned and we think, well, there must not be a God. Or maybe if there's a God, he's a liar because he told me he would answer my prayer and he hasn't answered my prayer. Or that he doesn't love me. So Janis Joplin, amen. Do you want to just come up here with me? And okay. You can sing as much of this as you want, but I'm going to stop at a certain point, okay? Okay, all right. Well, you can, if you keep going, key of, I don't want your ears to bleed.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?
My friends
all drive Porsches,
I
must make amends.
Is that good?
It's good. That's
okay,
good.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Okay. Okay, that's all right. Sister Janice. Sister Janice would say that she needed her Mercedes Benz because her friends all drive Porsches and she must make amends. And then all she has to do, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That is not how the Lord God answers prayers. Now, if I'm driving a Pinto, it seems like an upgrade to get a Mercedes Benz. And it seems like maybe that would be a good thing. And the Lord said, ask and it will be given. But here's the secret sauce for living a life of prosperity. Bearing in mind that God doesn't define prosperity the same way a sinful, broken world or us in our humanness would. Do I need a Mercedes Benz? Unlikely. The secret sauce is simply this. The Lord God wants to give you good things. He's good at giving you good things. And Jesus' words are true. You ask and it will be given. But what will be given? Here's the secret sauce. When you learn how to align your will with the Lord God's will, you just wait and see what the Lord God will grant you. He wants you to have good things, but He wants you to have His things. Not a Mercedes Benz. The world would say, wow, look at that person. What if the Lord said, no, what I need to grant you is patience or kindness. What if you went to the Lord and said, Lord, I am seeking and I need to find because I have doubts and I have worries. And I think the Lord God would come along beside you and say, let me help you with that. I am all you need. You see, the Lord God would say, if you align yourself with me and you live like me and you live for me, you are prosperous. Now let me show you all the things in life that truly make a prosperous life. Kindness, compassion, gentleness, loving, serving, living outside of ourselves, praying for the needs of others. That's what makes us prosperous. It's not anything else that we would ever do. You see, when we live more like Jesus and we allow our will to align with His, just wait and see if the Lord doesn't make us prosperous because he gives us the thing that we now realize really means prosperity. See, isn't it the size of my bank account? Because I don't have the will of God, that's my understanding. It must be the bank account. It must be the house. It must be the car. It must be the job. It must be my status in the community. But when I realize what God's will is for my life, those things then redefine my own definition of prosperity. And now I define it the way God defines it. It's not about anything else. It's about a relationship with him. It's about being kind. It's about being compassionate. It's about being loving and patient. Here's how to do this. I told you that there's a secret sauce. The answer is found in aligning your will with the Lord God's will. But there is a secret to this. The Apostle Paul tells us in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm going to read this to you, and it's so super simple, but it is the secret to aligning your will with his. It's so easy. This is what he says. Verse 2, chapter 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The world's a liar. If you want to be in the world, you'll think like the world. The world's a liar. You'll be stuck in your thinking forever. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you want your will to align with the Lord God's will, you have to know what God's will is. And God says, if you want to know what my will is, then be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want to be different, you must think different. New and better, healthy behaviors stem from healthy and better and new thinking. The power is within you through the Holy Spirit to think differently. And then once you think differently, that is a beautiful thing that if you ask right now, I promise, if you go before the Lord, Jesus' words, if you ask, you will receive. If you go before the Lord right now and you ask him to help you think like him, less of me, more of you. If that's your heart, I promise you he will show up and help you figure out how to do that. How to transform your existence by transforming your thinking. When you think like the Lord God Almighty, everything in your life changes. You will redefine the meaning of prosperity. I promise you if you seek, you'll find. Because you'll be seeking for God's things, not your things, or not the world's things. That's why Jesus' words are true. When he says, you ask, you'll receive. You seek, you'll find. You knock, the door will be open to you because you're trying to seek and find and go through doors that glorify him and bring you true prosperity. Not a Mercedes-Benz, unless that would be God's will. But to think like God, to experience God, to live like Jesus, those are the good things that he wants to give you. He wants that for you. And he knows how to do that for you better than anybody. Even a good earthly father, evil compared to a holy, holy, holy God, knows how to give you good gifts. Just imagine how much more able the Lord God is to do that for you than even a good father. I know we've got good fathers in this room that want to give good gifts to their children, and they know how to do that. But just imagine how much more able our Heavenly Father is to do that. Now, the fifth thing on your notes, the thing that's kind of hiding in plain sight, this is how you know that you've kind of come full circle with your thinking and your persistency in your prayer life. And you're understanding that God gives good things. And he wants to give me good things. And he knows how to give me good things. And all I have to do is ask for good things. Because I know that he will give me the things in my life that are good. Because my will is aligned with him. Here's how you know. The very last thing Jesus says is the golden rule. You see, when we understand about God's heart, His giving heart, and we apply that to our existence, and we start to think and act and love like Jesus, then it becomes easy to treat others the way we would want them to treat us. And that's how we know that prosperity has come full circle, because the true prosperity in life isn't about us. It's about us coming to the point where we open our eyes and we see the world the way Jesus sees the world, and now we live from a heart of generosity and giving and love toward everyone else. That's how you know. If you really look at humanity the way Jesus looks at humanity, and you then can do nothing else but to love them the way you hope that they would love you, then you know that you're living a prosperous life. You can do more than survive, church. You can thrive. And I can't do the Spock thing. Live long and prosper. Can anybody do this for me? Kristen and Emily have it. Levi has it. Spock says it this way. You live long and prosper. God would say this. You prosper, you will live long. Amen. Jim and his team are going to lead us. And I just want you in this moment to realize, even the gifts from heaven, though they are good, and they will do great things in your heart and your life, they're not even for you. They're for everybody else to enjoy. Amen, church. Well, brothers and sisters, we are part of the family of God. Amen. We are His children. And I want to leave you with words that were written to His children, because these are words for us today too. Even in the midst of the rebellion, you see, the southern kingdom had rebelled and God allowed them to be taken off into captivity into Babylon. And even though in the midst of their rebellion, God knew that they were going to be there for a long time, 70 years. He had plans for them. Through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah writes to the exiles, the rebellious ones, were drug off into captivity in Babylon. And he says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." This is who you are in the eyes of God. He has great plans for each one of His children. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Even in the midst of everything that is wrong, and they had raised that rebellious fist to heaven, but even in their rebellion, He loved them. So it doesn't matter what you've ever done or are doing or ever will do in your life, God has plans to prosper you. Now the question isn't, can He? The question is, will you allow Him to? The things of God are good and they're waiting for each one of us. And all we have to do is empty ourselves of us and allow more of Him and just wait and see. If we don't redefine what it means to be prosperous, to have Him means we have everything. Okay, church, go be prosperous in the name of the Lord. You are sent.